This morning, we're going to go back into our teaching. Last week, God did some other things in ministering to people. Hallelujah. He's interested in the things that you're going through in life. And I believe these, as we go into these teachings, some of these things are going to help us in our series that I had started the week before, the gospel and the will of man. And we want to really look at this concerning our will and the, how important it is concerning our will. And, looking at God's plan and purposes. The week before, we talked about the fact, you know, that concerning the sinner, that the wrath of God abides on him. And so we look at the fact as we preach the gospel, and why we're preaching the gospel to people is the condition that people are in. And we need to know that God is interested in the will of man. We spoke some of these. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll reiterate some things this morning. But understand is, God gave man a will. And really is one of the things we're dealing, and we talked about the fact, people talk about the sovereignty of God, but man is sovereign. Man has a sovereign will. And we don't look at that from that standpoint. It's not taught, but we have a sovereign will. We decide what we want in life. I remember, as I was a young Christian, I wasn't born again even a year, and I remember Kenneth Hagin, him saying this. He said, if you don't like the way your life turned out, he said, that's your problem. You've made it the way that it is. And boy, I thought that was just a downright hard thing. But, you know, it's one thing going along in my life. You know, when I was a little kid, my life was about parents. But when I got old enough, I ain't got no right to throw it back on them. I can make my own decisions.
Amen.
You know, if I didn't like the way they raised me, well, I can change and do whatever I want. I have that right. And so I can't throw it back on somebody else. Our society does that today. It's always trying to throw something over on somebody else. Is there the reason? I'm an idiot because they made me an idiot. No, I determined to stay an idiot. They might have tried to make me one, but if I want to stay an idiot, that's up to me. I have a will, and when I get before Jesus one day, he's not going to turn around and yell at you for the way I am. Now, if you did something that wasn't right concerning me, he may talk to you about that. But my life is my determination of how it turns out. And see, you need to get that. It's one of the things as we endeavored, my wife and I, to teach our children that in growing up, that their lives. See, parents don't teach that. Parents love to be God to their kids today. They like to be God. You know, you come and worship me because, see, I take care of everything and you have to come to me. Well, that's a crazy thing to do in life. How well has that turned out? Because we turn around and have people, adults today, and they're just a burden on society. Adults are a burden on society. They're looking around, somebody else is always supposed to take care of you. Dealing with the areas of the will is one of the things I'm really glad is that my parents taught me, and that stuff, to be responsible for my life. I used to think when I was a kid and go to school, because I saw all these kids, man, they had a lot of freedom and all kind of stuff, that I think, boy, they really had it. They had it made. I'd want their lifestyle. But I got older. And now today, there's a bunch of them are dead. They've died a long time back. There's a bunch of them in life. Things haven't, you know, I found all these popular people in school that were really great. A lot of life didn't turn out so popular. But you know, my parents raised 9 kids and all of them weren't burdens on society. Wasn't a none of them. All of them got jobs, worked and did things and that stuff, did well in life. Why did we do that? Because of the way we were trained and taught coming up. And I always look back and I thank God. My parents didn't know a lot about, they were Christians, didn't know a lot about some things in the Bible. There were a lot of religion taught. But there's one thing, they had a foundation in them of good things. Amen. That you do. You know, they followed things. They wouldn't lie, cheat, and steal and that stuff. Amen. They honored God as best as they understood. And they what they taught us about working hard, about doing things, not, you know, going out here in life. I am just so thankful of those things. In other words, their training and teaching, they taught us some things about our will in doing things. Mm-hmm. See, your will got to be trained. You know, we do a lot of the things of teaching, and we'll, as we go into this, we'll talk about, because we're going to deal in the areas of authority. Now, I don't know how many of you, like, I got to sit, like, under Keith Moore at Rhema and teaching on, dealing with authority. I got to sit under his, which is really good. One thing, though, that I realized that he didn't, they taught about authority, but you need to teach about the will, because authority in itself, you might turn around and even submit to an authority, but your will's not in it. You need to understand, if you want to be blessed in the Christian walk, it isn't enough to just submit to things. See, lots of times people say, well, you know, I submit to God. In other words, they're telling you, I'm doing what God told me to do, but they're not liking it at all. You know, if God told you to do something, it's for your good. And your will, you need to get over and realize. See, I went through this thing and realizing that I finally arrived. If God's moved me into an area or something, then it's for my best. And in other words, for my life. It's for my, He's moving me into the area to do certain things. I need to go into that and do it, and I need to go in and like it. You know, I tell you this, sometimes God leads you into hard things. You know, when I was in the service, I found out these people, because the Lord told me when I first got saved, He said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you to walk by faith. In other words, they made you do things. In other words, they tried to give you as much of war condition as they could before they sent you to war. That was their intent, which was a good idea. But those people were hard on you, but they weren't hard on you because they didn't like you. They were hard on you. They're trying to keep you alive.
Amen.
You know, we thought they'd just being mean. These guys just got a kick out of doing stuff. But I found out about these number of our drill sergeants, you know, that we had guys that were still even from the Second World War period, guys are Korean War, and they're teaching us because they know what war was like. And they're teaching us. And when I got to Vietnam, I was like, man, thank God these guys took the time to teach us. Well, in real life, it's the same. God will do that to you. The Lord spoke to me, is one thing. I got the thing one time. Kenneth Hagin had said this. The Lord told him when He told him to go teach faith, He said, I allowed you to go through some things in life. He said, so you could teach people faith. The Lord spoke to me some 30 years ago and said to me, I allowed you to go through so you can teach people faith. See, faith is needed in many times in hard situations, in tough spots. And if you don't know how to go through them, just forget it. You're going to fail. It's just, you have to learn how to go. You don't have to learn going through hard things. God didn't put me through those things to hurt me. I can help people. I know how to get through some stuff. I don't know everything, but there's tough stuff I know how to get through. I know how to walk, and I know how to come out the other side of it on top. I learned over time. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you this. It ain't easy. It's not fun. But when you know how to do it, it takes a lot of that there's sting out of life of going through things if you know what your outcome is. We need to have more people today in the body of Christ that can teach by experience and not just rote from the book. There's too many. Oh, they don't have no experience. They just say, well, God is good. Yeah, God is good. But I could sit here all day and tell you stories how God was good to me. Just reading it from the Bible don't mean nothing. You sit and read the Psalms all day, but if you don't know God's good to you, I mean, go do something else. You'll probably be happier. You want to experience God. God's an experience. It's not something, you know, it's like Kenneth Hagin told us. He said the Holy Ghost ain't some hitchhiker that lives in you just going along. You know, He manifests God to you. He manifests Christ. And so we need to understand this is one of the things we're dealing with the will. We talked about the last time we were teaching. We ended using the scriptures from Romans, the first chapter in verses 16 and 17, concerning the gospel. Because the presentation of the gospel, people many times come into the kingdom really with a very weak gospel. And I found this out. People, what you believe is the level you walk on. That's the level you walk on. You know, when I was in the world, we used to, and I was a drinker, you'd go into the bar. In those days, the bars, they would have set up with the good liquor on top shelf. That's where the word top shelf came from, because the good stuff was on the top. That was expensive stuff. You had to have more money than I did at the time. You know, I could buy one or two drinks, but I could buy 20 of them down here in the cheaper stuff. So, but they would have different levels. They'd sit behind the bar. And so, but they would do that. In other words, but they would have it there. See, the church today, here's what the church does today, and a lot of faith teachers do this. They teach low-level faith. You don't even see the other levels. They don't ever show anybody. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin taught top shelf. I learned that. Why? This is why you do that. Because people are generally like this. If you teach something on a low level, the average person is going to be lower than that. They're going to walk. You teach something high, they'll usually come to a higher level. I don't care if they don't reach a top level, they'll get up higher.
Amen.
They'll have a better walk. And see, I learned that from him. Educate. Do you ever notice this? They'll say about the sports. If a team doesn't play very well, they play a real good team, they usually play a higher game.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you're low level, and I've learned about this. I've learned about listening to teachers. If I get over to low level teachers, I go to somebody else. You know, challenge me.
Amen.
Put it up there. Put it up there where I have to go to something higher. You make me a little uneasy, maybe. But we're going to go to something higher.
Amen.
I can reach further. You know, I might not reach the top of certain things, but at least I can get up a ways. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you want to go in this thing. And this is the gospel. That's why the gospel that's preached to you. See, today we have like a gospel preached. Jesus saves, but you need 12-step programs. We don't preach a deliverance, Jesus. People don't believe and get delivered. Generally, in the body of Christ, they don't believe. Even the spiritual people don't believe. They don't preach the deliverance gospel. They don't preach the gospel. I was fortunate. I heard Kenneth Hagin preach the gospel, and he preached, Jesus would set me free.
Hallelujah.
I was bound as the day was long. I was an alcoholic. I was just bound as and free. And you know what? I got saved and got free. Didn't have to go to one 12-step program. Amen. Didn't have to attend AA or any kind of a... Didn't have to go... Jesus set me free. The reason it was is because I was preached the word, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
If you're not preached it, you can't get free.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing the word. That's why we got to get back to the top shelf gospel again, so people can believe. Now there are good, like Mario Murillo out here, he preaches top shelf gospel, and people believe it, and the addicts get set free like that in his meetings.
Amen.
Wow, he don't preach a stupid job. Ask Jesus into your heart. Yeah, and he'll save you, but you're just going to sin. You know, just, you know, you're just here till you get out and he gets you out of here. And, you know, life, you know, hard to tell. God will probably make you sick or do something to you. You know, he's trying to teach you because you're such a knucklehead and you just can't figure nothing out, you know. And they preach a low-level gospel and people come in believing that. They don't believe that. They're not taught the goodness of God. They're not taught the gospel of deliverance. They're not taught God sets the captive free. That's what he does. Hallelujah. And you want to preach that to people. And that's why in Romans, first chapter, and in the 16th verse says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. That word power is dunamis. That's where we get the Greek word comes. We get dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation. That word there, salvation, is the Greek word soteria, which means rescue safely. It physically means morally. It means to deliver. It means health, salvation. It's to set free. That's what it means. See, we have this thing, well, you know, get saved. And that there gets ingrained in people's mind. It's just about getting, accepting Christ. But the gospel is about the goodies. It's about God's goodies. Hallelujah. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I like over here watching him, and I've learned his ministry. He said God would, you know, lead him around, preach. The Lord got him over. Like, you know, he was a pastor for a time, and then he went out into a ministry and sort of was like an evangelist, but God hadn't called him to it. And finally God got him straightened out in it and got him over to prophet's ministry. And the Lord dealt with him about in crusades to preach healing. And he told him if you do that, he said, more people will get saved than they ever will in the meetings that you have where you're just trying to get people saved. He said, preach healing. He said, I found that was right. He said, where I'd go in and I would start preaching healing, he said, so many people would come to Christ in those meetings. Why? It's part of the gospel. See, we don't preach out the gospel today. The average minister preaches gospel, says he preaches gospel, never preaches gospel. He only preaches one part, one little, we got this one thing. But see, people have to have faith for this other stuff. You preach, you know, call people in. If you're going to call people into Christ, tell them how good he is, what all he'll do for you.
Amen.
Why give them just a little tidbit? You know, I was addicted and he set me free.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I'll never forget when I accepted Jesus and the Lord spoke to me and said, do you notice you don't have to drink anymore? Mm-hmm. Blew my mind. Because I thought, yeah, I got saved, and I didn't have this drive and desire in me that I had concerning drinking. I thought, dear Lord, I don't have... First time I ever got a choice in my life about the drinking thing. I hadn't for years. For years, I had no choice. I was driven to drink. I was driven. It wasn't the alcohol. It was a demon I had. You're going to understand this. Most of these people out here, the church is full of nuts and flakes, and they're leaders usually, and they're always trying to do all these things for people, you know, psychologically. People, lots of times, drug addicts and that stuff, there's physical things to it. A lot of times, they got demons. They have, when they got in there and got bound, they end up demons. And the demons are what holds them there. That's what held me there. I got saved and got rid of the demon. When the demon left, the drinking left.
Hallelujah.
I could use my will to not drink.
Amen.
See, a lot of these people have no willpower. And all we give them in the church today is psychology. Man, no, it's the power of the gospel. The gospel is a powerful message that man can get born again and get his will back.
Amen.
They don't have no will back. Their will is bound up in sin. Their will is bound up. There's no freedom. We think, I'm so sick of hearing Christians and so-called Christian conservatives and they're nutty. Well, you know, God said it's free because we have the freedom to vote. Oh, shut up. The freedom to vote. Dear God, if that's all the freedom you got, move to Russia or something. Dear Lord, you'll maybe learn to appreciate the freedom to vote. But I got bigger than that. Glory to God. I got sin free from the bondage of sin and all that sin was doing to me. Amen. Sin held me in bondage, had its foot on my neck and I couldn't do anything about it. My will was, we're talking about being held captive today. My will was held captive, not to God. It was to the devil to do his will. And the gospel set me free from that. Amen. And see, that's the power of the gospel. The gospel is the only message. The true gospel is the message of God that's the only thing that will set men free from sin. There's nothing else can do it. You can try all kind of programs. You can go through things that teach you psychological things that may help your certain life to a certain extent, you know, and that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, freedom comes from the power of the gospel and nothing else. It's the freedom. One thing is the freedom I had. See, I didn't get the freedom to vote. I got the freedom to serve God. I can serve God now. I could not before. See, most Christians, they don't get saved to serve God. See, I was told by Kenneth Hagin, you're over here serving the devil. See, I served the devil. In fact, the night I got saved, I said to the Lord, Lord, I served the devil, did whatever he wanted. But I said, now I'm going to serve you and whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it. See, I was set free to set my will to serve God. Many Christians never have their will set to serve God. They think, even the faith people think that faith is about serving me. My faith ain't about serving me, it's about serving God. God is the one that we serve. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. You know how many times we use the word Lord singing today up here? Most of the church has no clue what it means or what it's about. It's just, they think it's like saying Mr. God or something. They don't know what Lord even means. They think, you know, Jesus, you know, He's Lord. They thought it was His last name. They don't even know what it even means. The Lordship. You know, I serve, and the wonderful thing about it, I'm not a slave to Jesus. I willingly became a slave to Him. Amen. I sat down and said, you know what, I want to serve you. I do that all the time. I thank God. I'll thank God. Thank God. I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you get to Lord over me. Hallelujah. Amen. I need a Lord over me. I need somebody that can dominate my life that's good, that's gracious, that's kind. I am so thankful to be a servant. Hallelujah. I'm glad. See, He's Lord. See, we don't treat Him as a Lord. We think He's there. He's like Santa Claus. We just write Him a letter and say, that's pretty good this year. Send me a gift. You know, shoot it off in the mail. Get it out there, you know. And we don't stop down and say, hey, well, you know, our prayer life isn't starting off. What do you want? It's what I want. What are you doing today, Lord? What is it you have in mind? Since, you know, you're my Lord. See, we don't use it. Do you notice most Christians talk about Him being Savior? They don't talk about Him being Lord. Number one thing I talk about, I thank God He saved me. But I talk about the Lord. He's Lord. When I pray, He's Lord. He's the one that has a right of say over my life. Amen. And you know what? He does. Not because He's a bozo. I am glad I can yield my will to Him. Hallelujah. I want Him to be Lord over my life. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, I haven't always made great decisions. I want somebody, hallelujah, over my life that'll set a direction, hallelujah. I want my life to be profitable, don't yours? Amen. See, it isn't, you know, Kenneth Hagin, when he was called up to heaven and saw his sister was there, had died. And his sister said this. And so you can know this about Jesus. She said, up here, we're not interested in how much money you have. We don't care about your cars and the clothing you wear. We don't have any interest in that at all. She said, up here, the only thing we're interested in is your spiritual condition. She said, we know whether you're walking with God or not. So if heaven's like that, God's like that. He don't care how much money you get and how much money. If it's your spiritual condition. See, you can have money and lousy spiritual condition.
Amen.
A lot of that out there. See, you can have stuff that don't make you spiritual.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when I found that out, I said, what's God interested in? He's interested in my spiritual condition. Hallelujah. It's like the Lord said to me long, many years ago, He said to me, attitude is everything. Now, see, it has a lot to do with your will. Your attitude majority of the time, when you have a bad attitude, it's because you got a will problem usually. You won't yield to something. Now, how can I tell that? Folks, I live it. Sometimes I got to deal with my will, you know?
Amen.
Get my attitude straight.
Right.
Got to deal with my will. You know, somebody did something to me and I want to be mad at them. You know, I got to get my will set and say, no, we ain't going to do that and I'm not going to act that way. And I set my will not to retaliate. I'm not going to do that. They're saying things, but I ain't going to say nothing. Keep my mouth shut. And you know what? I'm going to do with a smile. I'm not going to do it mad. If you're doing it mad, you didn't do it by your will anyhow.
Amen.
This is good preaching, folks. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. You see, and you might have to work on your will. Believe me, and I'm just going to tell you this, it's a lifetime of work, you know. But we're dealing with, but there's one thing, if you get a hold of it, you can catch yourself quick in things and get straightened out right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do. It's easy to do. You'll catch yourself. So you want to be over there, you know. Hallelujah. You know, Rose was talking this morning, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen, you just want to choke them, you know. Say, dear Lord,
Amen.
Use me to bring your vengeance, you know. Sometimes, you know, we want to do those kinds of things. And, you know, you got to stop and say, no, you know, people do things against you and it's just let it alone. Let it alone, Ed. We ain't going there. You know, I want to please God. You know, I've done enough of my life of pleasing Ed and it didn't work out well. So, hallelujah. Set my will. The power of this gospel, and that's why we want to preach this gospel. He said this gospel is a gospel of salvation. It's deliverance. It's healing. It's setting people free. The big thing that I really have gotten into is the fact when I was a young Christian, I can serve God now. I never could before.
Amen.
So get that into your eyes. You were, mind, you're set free so you can serve God, not so you can serve whatever else you want to serve or whatever. So I can serve God. I could never do that before.
Amen.
You know, that there bit of turning the leaf over in lives. Man, turning leaves over, I turned whole volumes of books over and I didn't change my life. But
Amen.
Jesus Christ changed and I found that I could literally serve God with pleasure.
Hallelujah.
Man. To me, see, that was revelation.
Amen.
That was revelation. My God, I can serve God. See, we don't serve sin anymore. See, a lot of the gospel today is preached. You get saved and you go out here. So, you know, God forgives you your sin and you're just going to still sin again. And the whole thing of grace is about God being able to forgive you because you're going to live bad. And so, but He forgives you anyhow. That's such a sloppy, weak grace. Grace gives you the ability to overcome sin.
Amen.
Thank God. It's a puny grace that just, you know, I get to sin and God forgives me. Is that what the way we want to live? Is that what we want to do to our Lord? We want to treat His great grace and say, no, it's the power. This gospel is the dynamite of God. Hallelujah. It's for my salvation. It's for my freedom. He did all this for us. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, in verse 17 says this, and I want to look at this, Dave. We didn't really reiterate this a lot, but I want to see this. He says, for it is in this gospel, in other words, he's talking about, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, what is revealed? This is the big key of the gospel. Righteousness. See, we can go over and teach on, we weren't going to do it, but we can go over and teach on right. We need to understand this. Righteousness. The revelation of the gospel is righteousness. Most people, the revelation of the gospel is sin. How bad you are in this. The revelation of the gospel is righteousness. Why? Because righteousness is the basis of this. Listen, for in it the righteousness of God is real, what? From faith to faith. Righteousness. I'm just going to tell you this. You don't got the righteousness thing, you don't have much of a faith life.
That's
right. Amen.
The whole thing that you can go before God is on the basis of righteousness. And now here's the best, because this is what most people, the average Christian, I don't care if they're spirit-filled or what they are, will keep trying to approach God on the basis of whether they're good. See, if I've done real good, you know, I really feel confident in God, and I didn't do feel good, maybe not so confident before God. They're always trying to approach God on the basis of their performance. I found out God blessed me even when I was stupid.
Amen.
Because I've learned to approach God on the basis of the righteousness that was given to me. And when I come into the presence of God, I'm going to tell you something. Now hold on to your religious hat. Because see, when I go in the presence of God, I'm as righteous as He is.
That's right.
We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I haven't been the righteousness of my work. So when I go before God, if I ask God for something, even when I get in trouble, see, you need to have this. You go boldly to the throne of grace. You don't crawl in on your belly weeping and whining. You go boldly into the throne of grace. And it says first for this, to receive mercy. Why do you need mercy? You don't need mercy if you've been doing right. You need mercy because you was dumb. You missed the mark. But he said go boldly to get mercy. See, people don't. The devil will hold you outside. He'll tell you. Religion will hold you outside. Well, when you get everything corrected, then you can go before God. No, I need to go before God because I need His grace working to help me out of my mess. I need power that I don't have myself. I need His power working in me so I can overcome. Amen. You won't overcome sin. You don't get forgiveness of sin by your abilities. First John works by his ability. We go in with confidence and boldness. I tell the Lord, Lord, I missed it. I messed this up. But I know this. You want to help me out. Amen. I know this. Amen. I'm here because there's grace to help me in time of need, and I'm Mr. Need. Amen. Hallelujah. I need help to get through this stupid Amen. Thing that I did. And he says, I'll do it for you, son. He is just waiting for people to have a boldness. I've learned over time, I have a very boldness about talking about God, and I've had ministers even call me out on it. You shouldn't say things the way you do, you know. They take it as an irreverence. I take it as a boldness toward God of how good He is.
Amen.
Their so-called reverence don't get them answers to prayer.
Hallelujah.
But it's a good religious thing, and it sounds good to people. Be bold in the face of God. Say, Lord, I do all the time. Say, Lord, you said such and such in your word. Now, if you wouldn't do that for me, you'd be a liar. If you ever talk, I talk to God. I say, God, you couldn't lie. So that's going to work. This is going to have to work.
Hallelujah.
You're going to do that for me. Because you put it in your words. You put it there. It was for me. Hallelujah. And see, you have to have that kind of confidence. See, I found that I learned it first of all in the areas of healing. I really learned, that's what I learned about, is being really bold concerning healing and that stuff. What God will do. You know, God will do things for me. I can walk toward Him and He'll do it. You know, He's interested. You know, so when the Lord told me back in my first year of Christianity, He said, I'm more interested in my people being well than they are. And He is. You know, we act like we're trying to get something that He might give us. We've made healing a sideline. No, it's straight up front in it. It was right in the redemption. Hallelujah. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses just like He took Ed's sin. It's on the same level. It's on the same playing field. See, you got to get over there. That's why in Bible school when I teach on the things and I'd say, you know, is it harder to get healed than it is to get saved? People are always, it's harder to get healed than saved because they're, you know, they sit, and the majority of them are all sitting in Spirit-filled churches. But they're taught wrong. See, I don't want you to get it wrong. God is interested in your health. He's interested in your well-being. He's interested in it. He wants you well. Hallelujah. And so get it there. When I found out God's great interested in my health, no more was it a challenge concerning those things. I always knew this. If something wasn't working right in that area, I'd never stop and say, God, what are you doing? I'd say, Ed, what are you doing? Lord, where am I missing it?
Amen.
You know, that's when I got a blood clot in my lung, you know, and I went in the hospital and, you know, I was there and that stuff. But one of the things that I wanted to do, have I opened the door? Did God, did I do something that just happened? I wanted to know this. See, you can turn around and get healed and ended up within a few days, might be dead because you didn't correct what caused the problem. The devil come back knocking on your door again. I've watched people do that. They get healed in a short period of time, they're dead. Well, see, if there's, so I asked the Lord about it, Lord, and this is what I want to know. I was sitting in the ER and I was sitting on a table. They had me in a room there, and after they got some doctors and nurses to leave, it was just Wanda and I sitting there, and I said, Wanda, I said, and Ben, I was in pain. I said, I got to get a hold of God because I want to know if I missed it somewhere. I want to know that. Mm-hmm. And I said, I need to hear from the Lord. I need to know what He's saying to me. Amen. You know, I didn't expect Him to come with a great voice in the room, and He didn't. But I just sat there and I just, in my spirit, I just got over listening. And I just said, Lord, I said, if I've missed it, you show me. What am I supposed to do? Anything I need to change, you let me know. I'll fix whatever.
Amen.
But I want to make sure this thing is healing. This is closing the door on this stuff. I want to, you know, I want to have it right. And just sitting there inside of me, it just rose up. Don't be concerned about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. When he said that, I looked over at Wanda and said, don't be concerned about a thing. The Lord just said, I said, hallelujah, I'm fine. I got this thing. Amen. Within 20 minutes, I was completely well.
Praise God.
Didn't know what to do with me. They were like, you know. Hallelujah. You see, getting it over there. See, when your faith can work and you know. And see, many people, they bypass a lot of things. They don't ever check to see anything. Well, have I missed it somewhere? Have I done? Well, sometimes you have to do. That's just some of those things. But I know this. See, I knew sitting there, God wasn't operating against me. Anybody wanted me well, it was Him. Wouldn't Jesus been stupid to go all through the cross to take my infirmities and bore my sickness, and His great interest is to make Ed sick to teach him something? What a nincompoop he would be. Who wants to follow somebody like that? You know, if I can't trust His Word, it's one thing He's taught me to trust His Word. The Word says it's so. You know, it's up to me to get... See, I have a will to get a hold of that. But I choose that. He don't. No matter how He tells His goodness, I have the choice of taking a hold of it. It's my choice. It's never His choice. You're not going to grow up spiritually because God wants you to. You're going to have to make that choice. You're going to have to do what it takes. You know, like, you know, I go to the table to eat. I have a choice of whether I'm going to eat or not. I don't, you know. Well, we have those choices, and this is where living in this place. This is why we preach a powerful gospel to people. They, in turn, take a hold. They hear good things. They can set their will to take a hold of them. They can't set their will to take a hold of what they don't know. They can't do it. They need to take a hold of that. Hallelujah. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only power that can deliver man from the wrath of God. Nothing else can. There's nothing else. It delivers man from the wrath, but then turns around and sets man in the kingdom of God and into all the blessing that Jesus provided through His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's why we got to preach a gospel. What did He give us in His resurrection? We need to take it to people. We need to be bold about it. You know, don't pray for people. Tell people, you know, just like I do over time. You know, I tell people, you know, I lay hands on you. The Lord told me to tell people this. He said, tell them when you lay hands on them, the power of God is there to heal them.
Yeah, that's right.
And if they'll receive it, they'll be healed. You say, what if I pray and nothing happens? That's their problem, not mine. I told them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want to. Well, what if they don't get healed? It might look bad on me. Don't look bad on me. I ain't God.
Amen.
I'm just obeying what He told me to do. But if you don't tell them that the power of God's here to heal them, if you don't tell them that He wants to do it, don't be surprised you lay your empty hand on their empty head.
Yeah.
I tell them. The Lord told me, you tell them. The power of God's present to heal. It's here. I lay hands on you. That power, the power of God will come on you. And you can, if you receive it, it'll bring a healing and cure to your body. Just scriptural. But see, we got to tell people the truth. Hallelujah. We're not praying to try to get God here. I ain't trying to get God here. God done moved into me. God's living in me. God, the Holy Ghost is inside of me. You know? I hear people, man, I don't seem like my prayers are getting up the ceiling. They ain't got to. I don't pray to the ceiling anyhow. Hallelujah. I pray to God who's in me. God, the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Whew. God, the Holy Ghost. We got God living in us. Woo! The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Is that enough power? Do you think if there's power enough to raise from the dead, there'd be a power enough to heal? Hallelujah. Why? He makes alive your mortal body. That's what He does. Hallelujah. See, you ought to get up and shout, glory to God. It's quick. It's making me alive. I'm being made alive today. Hallelujah. I'm not getting weaker. I'm stronger. Hallelujah. Tomorrow I wake up stronger than I was today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not getting older in my body, but I tell you, Ed Gibson's getting stronger.
Amen.
He's getting bolder. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, we're in a war, folks.
Amen.
We need people to know how to fight a war. We have too many civilians in the church. Too many civilians in the church. We need people who stand up. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you can stand up, you can help somebody.
Amen.
Glory to God. God wants to work in you. I want to read you the in the 20th century New Testament. I want to read this, Romans first chapter, verse 16 and 17, out of the 20th century New Testament. I really like the way they say things in here, because I found out of studying this that it is said really, in fact, a lot of translations will find, especially verse 17 goes along this line. The last part of 17, like I was reading from the New King James, it says, "For the just shall live by faith." But I want you to listen to this. In verse 16 of the 20th century New Testament, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news. It's the power of God which brings salvation to everyone who believes in Christ, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For in it there is a revelation of the divine righteousness resulting from faith leading on to faith." Now they say from faith to faith, because see, faith leads on to faith. This is why you walk by faith. This is why some people never really develop much in faith, because they don't walk much by faith, so it doesn't lead to more faith. See, I found this out. When I walked in faith, I would turn around and God would respond to my faith. He would always encourage me to go to, "Whoa, hey, that one worked. Let's do another one. Let's get this next thing and go on to it." See, my people, you know, a lot of people, and it's sad to say in the church world, God is wonderful. But many people have what they call faith things happen, and it wasn't. It was mercy. Their faith wasn't involved. God did because of it. And they get the idea. They don't know the difference between what's in their spirit, their own faith, and what God's doing. See, I, especially as a young Christian, God did so many things because of mercy. I would step out in a little bit of faith that I had, but He was doing more than my faith had. He was encouraging me. He was showing me to go on. But I look back and I think, my words, He had a lot of mercy on it. Well, as I got along with some things I come along with, and I wanted to play that game that I did back there when I was little and not use much faith, He told me one day, He said to me, "You ain't going nowhere doing it like you did it before." He said, "You ain't going to see nothing." Excuse me? He said, "You're going to have to walk on a higher level. You better do it." Yes, sir. See, there's things you can't get by. See, people love to be babies. You know, they think grace is about me being a big baby all my life, and I don't have to pay any attention. I don't do it. And God, because He loves me, He loves you, and let the devil eat your life.
That's right.
People don't get that. See, we need to get this thing. This is why we walk by faith. But now listen to this. Verse 17, 20th century New Testament, for it says, "For in it," that is the gospel, "there is a revelation of the divine righteousness resulting from faith and leading to faith, as Scripture says, through faith the righteous man shall find life." The righteous man. That's how faith works. Works through righteousness. That's how it works. Faith ain't something automatic. You walk in your righteousness. You believe in the righteousness of God. And you approach God. And you walk in the power of your righteousness. Hallelujah. And you know what? You're going to find life. You're going to, the life of God, you're going to run into it. Just think about every Christian, every person gets born again. Every one of them. All the blessing of God, that every spiritual blessing in heavenly place belongs to the individual immediately upon being born again. But people don't have it just because it's there. You got to find out about it, then you got to respond to it. Righteousness is the foundation that it responds. Faith responds on the basis of righteousness. I'm right before God. I'm born again. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have every right. I'm as righteous as Jesus is sitting on the throne. I ain't Lord, but I'm as righteous as He is. Well, how'd you get there? Well, God gave me His very own righteousness. Some people say, "Yeah, but it ain't yours." But He shouldn't have gave it to me. I'm going to use it. You know, don't give me money and then tell me what to do with it. You know, like I tell people, you know, everything, all the money I have, it belongs to God. Most people would say that. That's the last thing their money that belongs to them. Mm-hmm. Number one, I want you to know this. The stuff that I have is in my will. It determines what I want to do with it. You say, "Well, it all belongs to God." No, it doesn't. He gave it to me. Do you realize that God gave you a free will? Do you think you ain't allowed to operate in it? Your will isn't His. No, your will's yours. And I know people say these religious things, and I don't like it. Because number one, my wealth and what I do with it is up to my will if I want to yield it to God or not. Saying that religious junk does nothing but try to get you out of doing what you do, following your own will, making like it's okay. Well, if God wants some of it, you know, it's like a minister said, you know, the Lord, I give the offering, whatever He wants, I throw it up in the air, and if He takes out what He wants, the rest of it hits the floor is mine. Now, that might say that sounds crazy. That's the average Christian lives like that. That's the average Christian lives just like that. The average Christian, God has to tell them, or they won't do things. They don't have a will to do, you know. God don't have to tell them, give me a will to say. I tell you what, it's like I'm always the thing, Lord, if you don't want me to give money into this, you just let me know because I'm going on the thing over here, and if you don't want me to, but if my inner man feels clear, I'm going after it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, we want to live in this place. We don't get this religious junk in it. It is a powerful thing, and you understand. If you don't understand your will, you'll never be a great faith person. You'll never be good at it. Well, God can do whatever He wants. Well, if He could, why don't He straighten you out? God can do whatever. See, we have all this religious junk is thrown out here. And it's not true. It's not true. God wants our will. He just wants us to stop and say, hey, you know what? I'm doing this because I want to. I'm not being forced. Demons force. The devil forces. God don't. God lets you go on your merry own way. He'll kill you. He'll let you go. He won't force you. He won't make you. Now people say, well, God made me do this. No, God don't make me do things. I have to yield my will. And so I want to do that. I don't want God to have to force me, you know. I don't want my wife to have to force me to love her. See, well, I have to. See, I came out of a church like that. The pastor, he's, well, you know, you got to tithe because God said you got to tithe. That ain't the basis of tithing. Ain't nothing New Testament about that. The Old Testament, you had to obey the law to get blessed. The New Testament, it's about our will. You got your will back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We tithe, I tithe because I want to. Hallelujah. And as to me, tithing ain't no big deal at all because, I mean, I left that in the dust a long time ago. Hallelujah. Why? The love of God shed abroad in my heart, and I'm like Jesus. You just want to give it all away. You just want to do something. You want to walk in that. You don't want to walk in a place of freedom. There's no freedom than the fact if something has a hold on you in life where you can't release a certain thing. You don't want to have that place. You know why? Because it eats at you. It don't eat at God. It eats at you. It's that place. It's like, don't ask God, don't ask me to do that. God, this is my favorite thing, Lord, you know. This is my favorite car. This is my favorite. This is the thing, you know, and I really like that. You know, I'm at the thing of, hey, God, if you want to do it, it's because you want to bless. And if you didn't bless me, you'd be a fool because I'd never give anything away again. You'd never get a nickel out of me. If you wouldn't take care of me, say, I know He will. See, you got to come to that place. I can yield my will to Him because He really does love me. He is really concerned about me. Get settled in that. See, there's great freedom in those things because, see, it's like me. I've never worried about money. Money will come. Money will come to me. Money will come to me. God will take care of me. He has to. If He doesn't, who'd want to do His will? Who'd want to do His will? But see, you got to come to that place. It's like, hey, I'm a... Keep yielding your will over, yield your will till it's a natural thing that you just, yeah, I'm going to do what He says. You know, He might show you something different in life than you ever had to deal with your will on. Yeah, it might be a new experience for you. You might have to challenge you a little bit. But I've learned over time there's things, and especially, you know, if the Bible says this, especially concerning money, it doesn't say anything else in the Bible like it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. See, because it deals with this. Covetousness is idolatry. There's ministers who stand in pulpits who are idolaters. And they're going to stand before God. They worshiped money. There's people who do that. They worship, you know. We have here in America, I mean, everybody, retirement is the big thing, you know. And I got to, you know, we have this retirement stuff set aside, you know, and God can't touch it. Amen. Let's preach it, folks. God has no say to my retirement dollars. Because I need that, you know. because he can't take care of me when I get older. And I have these money in these accounts. See, there's places, see, people, they want blessed, but they have an areas over here that are mine. So God says, well, this one's mine. Yeah, but I want blessed with that. I'm sorry, it's mine. I'm going to hold on to that. What do you think? Yikes! See, Juan and I, over time, we stop and say, well, Lord, what do you want us to do, Lord? See, well, I can't take that money out. If I do, I would have to pay a penalty. I'm sure God can't make it back to you either. You know how weak he is. You know how you can't trust him on that. God can do anything, but for me. Hey, these are good. But see, what I'm talking about, it's not to discourage anybody or running anybody down. We need to think about this stuff with our will, because Amen. Our will controls how far we can go and how far you can go to be blessed. Amen. See, you can set the limit on your blessing in your life by your own will. You set the limit on how far God can bless you. You'll do it. I've done it already. I'd take a step. I'd say, yeah, I've got to change this thing. Got to get over this thing. I was, one thing is I'm really, you know, grateful, like the Lord taught Wanda and I early concerning things about money and about giving. Cause, you know, we were just young Christians and sitting in a meeting, and the Lord said, told us to put in the offering all the money we had. We're supposed to put everything in. Well, it wasn't a lot of money, but it's all we had. And, you had bills and you got things and you're giving everything, and God says do that. And, you know what the thing of it was, I was sitting there, and I didn't know where Wanda would be on it. We're young new Christians, and we're sitting there taking offering. God's just inside of me rose up, put everything in. I thought, oh man. First thought I came and said, well, I'm willing to do it, but I was scared of Wanda. She might whack me one, you know, right there in the service, just might knock me out. You don't know? You know, I didn't know. Because see, we never had this happen before, this kind of thing come up, and we're new Christians. And I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, these thoughts go through your mind. Well, you know, man, we ain't going to have no money. I just got paid, and now we're not. See, she wasn't working at the time. She had the kids. And she wasn't working, and I'm the only working on all our money's going. And, you know, I got to wait 2 weeks to get a paycheck, and there's a few lunches in between there you might like to have. And you see, that gets in your thought. That's in your mind. You're sitting there thinking. But, you know, all I could think of, I knew that was God, and I wanted to do his will. I said to Wanda, I said, honey, I said, the Lord said we're supposed to put it, all we have in, put it in. And she just looked around and said, well, if he said it, then do it.
Amen.
See, I quit sweating then. But that's what she said, do it. But you know, we just all already, you know, we were just down in Pigeon Forge, and we gave a really large offering. And Wanda said to me, you know, the last night, she said, I got a sense we ought to do such and such, you know, do another big thing. Well, just like she was sitting there, and she said, good. I said to her, I said, God put in your heart, I said, do it. Amen. Put it in.
Amen.
We didn't hold a prayer. We didn't have to fast over it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to do none of that kind of stuff. Oh, people do that all the time. They say, well, is that really God talking to me? Well, the devil ain't telling you to bless a minister. You know, there's some things that are just downright, you know, I just take the benefit of the doubt. But see, I've learned over time with both of us in the areas of giving, I always tell her, if you see a sense to do something, go ahead and have at it.
Amen.
Have that. But she's trustworthy. Now, she was a flake, you know, some husbands and wives, you don't give them a nickel. You don't give them a chain. You just keep a rope around their neck and hold them close to you. I can trust Wanda. I've learned over time. You trust her. She tells me God's moving in certain areas. She feels God's leading her. I'm just thinking, because she's always been very kind. I've never had the thing of ministry. I know of all the trouble that people go sometime in ministry between husbands and wives. Things that go on. I mean, I was raised up under it. I was a pastor and his wife, and they were just always in competition, you know, set underneath our ministry. And they were always, you know, one trying to outdo the other. And, you know, just you had that all the time with them. Stuff going on. Stuff happening. Wanda's been a blessing.
Amen.
She's, hallelujah. You know, because I've come along and things, and I go to her and say, well, I believe God's saying this to me or that to me. And she's just, yeah, well, you go ahead. Yeah, I'm with you on it. Well, go ahead.
Amen.
And it is just so good.
Hallelujah.
You know?
Thank you, Lord.
If I, you know, tell her something, maybe we need to pray about or look at, she don't get, become a skeptic because, you know, I'm saying something to her. She'll say, yeah, we'll check it out. We'll see and we'll pray. But she's been a real blessing in those areas.
Amen.
And I'm just thoroughly appreciative of that.
Amen.
Because it has affected both of our spiritual development.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is why some couples can't grow up right.
Amen. Preach.
Competition makes it hard. Makes it hard. Butting against each other and that stuff. I feel sorry because you people want to follow God. You have a mate and don't want to follow God. I mean, I said at Rhema in a missions course that was required by everybody. I had a couple sitting in front of us. The guy said he was called to be a pastor. And his wife sat the whole time in the missions class. I don't know why we have to go through this class. We ain't going in the mission field. We're going to... And I thought, Lord, do whatever you can to her, but never let her get in the ministry. Never allow her to be in the ministry. I said, people don't need that kind of spirit standing around in front of them as a leader. Every time we had the course, Gwen, and she's up there yakking, and you just want to say, Lord, I turn her over to the devil for the destruction of her flesh, that she might shut her blind mouth. I never did try to find out if they ever went in the ministry, but I hope she got straightened out if they did. Because I'll tell you, it'd have been all about her. Don't give me no discomfort. Don't give me no, you know. Hallelujah. It was always blessed me. This is good stuff, you know, because dealing with your will. I always like the fact because Wanda never, she never pushed concerning the areas about things for herself or stuff like that from the Thanksgiving ministry or anything like that. And I was always blessed by that. God always blessed her and took care of her. And I always make sure I did. You know? She don't do as much anymore. She used to, man, she had a thing about shoes. She loved shoes. I said, man, she's a good wife. Buy as many as you want. And I guess, yeah, now she gives them away. Don't worry, she'll buy some more. But it's okay. You know, people tell her, you know, she has friends who say to her, you know, that, my God, you're high maintenance because, you know, she gets her nails and pedicures and she goes, does that stuff and things and that stuff. But she's not going to wasteful thing things and going to do all kind of crazy stuff. And I said, those are things she likes to do and I like to bless her with it.
Hallelujah.
She likes to do it and say, praise God, have at it.
Amen.
You know? And it's fun just blessing. See, the things, guys, you might think is weird, but get off your life and who you think you are.
Amen. Preach.
Because you think your stuff's really important. See, I was raised in a family like that. My dad thought his stuff was important, but didn't think his mom's was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good thing. No. Wanda and I have always done this, and I was really glad to find out because Brother Hagin said about it with him and Aretha. He said, we're always trying to outdo the other one. You know, I'd always do for her first. She'd say to me, I'd tell her to do something. No, you ought to go get, you haven't gotten this and you need to go. And I'd say, no, honey, you go get that. Why? Because we just want to bless each other.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We are blessed by blessing each other.
Amen. Preach.
All that comes from you got to learn to set your will. See, I never had that when I was saved. It was all about it. It's what pleased me. That's what and I got saved. It changed. That changed. And my will changed. My desire concerning her, my desire for other things, it changed. To me, that was the greatest revolutionary thing that ever happened to me. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What, did you learn something this morning? I did. See, sometimes, you know, it's like, I'm fortunate to get to preach these things because it brings back and refreshes. You know, I don't have any, I don't think about telling these stories. I don't think of things. Most of them, if you'd ask me to try to remember it, I'd have to think back to try to figure it out. But the anointing comes and all of a sudden this stuff starts flowing out of you. I think, man, I needed to hear that from me today. I needed to, because it just refreshes me in the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it also, man, God, you've done all this stuff for me. You've been working. And man, you've taken me from the drunk and the troublemaker in the house and made me something half decent. Amen. Glory to God. This is wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, glory to God. just to be blessed and walked in it. I just thank God. Hallelujah. What Jesus did. Let's tell people a wonderful gospel so they can yield their wills to God. And we're going to talk more then about our will and about stuff with our will. You're going to see some things in Scripture I'm sure you haven't seen before. And, you know, there's certain things that have come a revelation to me over the years and even some things here newly concerning these things in Scripture. And because God wants to move in this last days and He wants to use you.
Amen. That's right. Preach.
He wants to use you. And He wants you to know how to cooperate with Him. He wants to know how you to respond to Him. He wants you to enjoy it and want to do it. He don't want you to do things forced.
Amen.
You know? Paul wrote, said, you don't give by compulsion because some guy said you need to give. You give with a willing heart. Amen. Will? Will? How about I hear like that word will?
Mm-hmm.
You will to do it yourself.
Amen.
And He said, you know, you give according to what you can give. You give in that manner, what you can do. You know, maybe I can see I can do more. You know, we've learned how to give. God taught us even when we were a little bit, taught us how to even give more, push things. Mm-hmm. But maybe you ain't got that yet. So you operate where you are. He'll bless you where you are. You step out into what you can. Now, if you just want to live a little bit, you're going to receive back in the same manner that you give.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ask for big numbers back if your little number's going in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How it works. But the whole thing of it is, you start, you go where you can. Don't step beyond. That's why I say God makes a cheerful giver.
Amen.
If you ain't willing to do it, you ain't going to be cheerful.
Amen.
You ain't going to be happy about doing none of it.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen so many long faces in your life as a minister stand in front of people over the years and look back over when the offering's taken. People don't smile. I'm glad to give. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Won't be surprised me somebody at home waiting to give me money.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, thank You today. Father, we're going to take time now to fellowship with others in the church upstairs. Father, I want to be a blessing to them. Lord God,
amen.
Lord, we have some wonderful things that we want them to step into too.
Amen.
And Lord God, we want to show them that we do love them and we're concerned about them and we want to bless their lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we just want to thank You, Father, that You're so good to us and blessed us and we want to be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. And we just thank You. Thank You, Lord God. You have a place and a time for us in this day and hour. You have set it in motion. And we're here just doing Your will. Don't seem like much. But Lord God, we're just doing what You told us to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Lord God, You're doing the blessing. And we thank You for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.